Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 20th year bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for all the listeners and for this radio station, for the prayers, the provision, the support. Most of all, for those of you who tune in each and every Sunday, we thank you. We appreciate you. And if this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today we're going to be talking about the birth of the New Testament church. And this is coming from the second chapter of Acts. And the last couple of weeks we've been looking at the day of Pentecost and what happened on that day, the great message that Peter preached that day. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind. So we're going to look some more at the birth of the New Testament church here today. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2. We'll take up this message. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update what's going on in Kenya today. We are embarking on a big project for the ministry. We want to build a primary school for grades 1 through 8 with a preschool for the Makunda Village, and it's going to sit right next door to the Living Water Children's Home. We've already started on the project, built a septic system, a big tank 20 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 12 feet deep, and we concreted the walls, concrete the cap on it, and so we've got a start. We're going to need about $300,000 to complete this project for about 200 pupils there in Makunda Village. And so many of the pupils that come there will be out of Muslim families, and we'll be able to minister to them in a Christian environment, a good, wholesome environment that gives them a good education, the ABCs, everything they need to go on with their education, and at the same time, in a Christian environment, be able to teach and preach the gospel to them in many different ways, and they will be saturated with the Word of God and with the teaching of the Bible. And so that is our plan. And if you have any desire to help us with that, get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. Or stay tuned for the contact information at the end of this broadcast. And we would love to hear from you regarding that primary school project there in Kenya. Well, today we're going to be talking about the birth of the New Testament church. And this is very important because here we sit now, 2,000 some years later, or about 2,000 years later, and the New Testament church is alive and well. It is all over the world, in every corner of the world, and many, many people have gone forth from the USA and from other countries to preach the gospel. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the heritage, the Christian heritage that has been handed to us in this nation, in the United States of America, that we don't have to battle to get to a church. We don't have to go underground to attend a church and worship together, gather in assemblies. And so we are very appreciative of the Christian heritage. We don't take it for granted. We thank our ancestors. We thank the founding fathers of this nation for the good wisdom that they had and the godly guidance that they had and that they adhered to and listened to the Holy Spirit of God in founding this nation. And so we love the heritage that we have inherited, but we can't just sit pat on it. We can't just sit on the porch in our rocking chair and say, thank you, God, for everything. And so we can't check out of continuing to contend for the faith here in the United States of America and around the world. And so the birth of the New Testament church was a monumental event, a historical event, but a monumental, remarkable event. And we look at that history in Acts chapter 2, as prophesied by many of the prophets, the coming of the New Testament church. There's many prophets in the Old Testament, and even Jesus himself pointed to it, prophesied about it. When the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind. There was many, many, probably hundreds of thousands of people there in Jerusalem. They had come for the Feast of Pentecost, and every single person out there listening to Peter preaching and the disciples preaching were hearing the Word of God in their own native language. And so this was a miracle of speaking. Every person of the 120 disciples who received the Holy Spirit there began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in other languages, and the people there in that plaza, in that place, received the word in their own language. And so there was a lot of confusion. The people standing around who didn't know what was going on said, well, these people must be drunk. They're speaking in languages. They're jabbering, and we don't know what they're saying. They must be drunk. And Peter gets up and he says, no, they're not drunk. What is happening is the Holy Spirit has been poured out on these disciples, and they are speaking in languages that they don't know, but the people that are receiving the word, receiving the message, are hearing them in their own languages. And so then Peter gets up to clarify. He gets up to add some clarification to what's going on so that everybody understands, because people felt like there was a lot of confusion. But Peter knew that this was the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament, the book of Joel. Read the second chapter of Joel, Joel 2:28. It says, in the latter days, my spirit will be poured out on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even my maid servants and my men servants will prophesy in that day. And so Peter knew that scripture from the Old Testament. And so he got up and he started to give clarification. And he said, men of Israel, this is verse 22. Listen to these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourself know. This man, Jesus, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, and you put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. And so Jesus was crucified. Peter tells this big crowd of people that he was crucified. He was delivered up by a predetermined plan. This was no accident. God had planned from the beginning of time that if mankind sinned, which God knew man would sin in the Garden of Eden, that if that happened and men had fallen, that there would be an alternative plan, or in a way, this was the first plan, because God knew that man had the propensity to sin, that Adam and Eve would fall. And so he says, this is a predetermined plan by God and foreknowledge of God, and you nailed this man to a cross by the hands of godless men, and you put him to death, and this man, God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for Jesus to be held in its power. And so that is the gospel message, or part of it, the crucifixion, the blood shed by Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his precious, perfect blood according to a predetermined plan given by God. And Jesus was sent to the earth. He was sent to the cross. He was sent to Jerusalem and to the cross to shed his perfect, precious blood, which the Holy Spirit presented to God as a payment for the sin of all mankind. And so this was a plan that God had predetermined by his own knowledge, and it was also predetermined that Jesus would rise from the dead, that death would have no power over Jesus. And that is an encouraging thing also for us, because Jesus showed that he had power over death, we too who are born again, we too who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have power over death. Death no longer has power over you. you will live on in all eternity, or for all eternity, you will live on with Jesus Christ, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and with the saints in heaven, your ancestors who have gone on before you. You will live with them for all eternity in heaven, because death no longer has power over you. Yes, your body is going to die at some point in time. Your body is going to lay down in the earth because you're going to be finished with it. For a lot of us, you start to understand as you get older, you start to understand there's some joy in leaving that tent. There's some joy in not suffering any longer the pains of this life, the pains of your body, the pains and sickness that goes along with keeping your body in shape. And so there'll be a time in the future, if you're listening to me today and you're an elderly person, you understand that. But if you're a young person and you think you're going to live forever, you better check your thoughts, because every single day you should be conscious of your death, that someday you're going to die, and you need to know if you're going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, or if you reject Jesus and the message of the gospel, you will spend eternity in hell. Not because God wants you there, not because God sends you there, but by your own decision and your own choice. That is where you're going to spend eternity. It will be separation from God, where the worm never dies and the fire never is quenched. And so Peter is giving this message, and he said in verse 27 that Jesus will not be abandoned in Hades, because God said, I will not allow my Holy One to undergo decay. And so God raised him up from the dead. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 29, Peter goes on and says, Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, that's Jesus Christ, the descendant of David, on his throne, David looked and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. And so David was given revelation 1,000 years before Jesus. David understood that Jesus was going to go to the cross, the Son of God was going to go to the cross, and that he would be resurrected. God would not leave him to be in Hades. God would not abandon him in Hades. He would resurrect Jesus Christ. And so that's why the tomb was open. That's why Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples over a period of 40 days before the day of Pentecost came, which was 50 days later. But for 40 days, Jesus appeared to the disciples in many different venues, many different ways and places. And then he said, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans, he was saying to the disciples, but I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. And he will counsel you, he will guide you, he will give you wisdom, and he will intercede for you. And so that is what we have today. The Holy Spirit abides with us. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God abiding with you. Peter goes on, and he says, For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but David says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. And so God said to Jesus, the Lord said to my Lord, you're going to sit at my right hand, and eventually your enemies will be made a footstool for your feet. And so that's where we are right now. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. We're in the time of evangelism. We're in the time of church planting. We're in the time of sharing the good news. And we're not in the time of tribulation. We're not in the time of the rapture. We're in the time of evangelism and the time of sharing the good news, so that every single person all over the earth can know salvation. Every single person can know that their sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And so that is our call, that is our charge, and we thank the Lord that we live in this exciting time when we can share the good news of the gospel over the radio, over television, through personal evangelism, missionary trips, and we thank the Lord that we are able to do that. Well, Peter goes on here, and he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And now when they heard this, verse 37, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Well, when you hear the word of God, that's why I'm on the radio preaching every Sunday. When you hear the word of God, it can pierce you in your heart. It can separate. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God has healing power, as we talked about before, but it also has power to separate the soul from the spirit. In other words, the emotions and the will and the mind, it can separate that from the spirit that is in you that God wants to communicate, the spirit that is in you that God beckons to, and that your own spirit yearns to be with God. God created you that way. He created you in His own image. He created you that your spirit would long to be with Him. Your spirit would long to worship Him and abide with Him. And so that spirit then, the soul and the spirit can be separated by the Word of God. And we know the flesh, you will be done with your flesh at some point in time. We talked about that before. At some point in time, your spirit is going to want to go on, but your flesh will be tired and decayed, maybe full of pain, maybe full of cancer. Your flesh will lay down in the earth, and you will be finished with it. And so these people were pierced in their heart, not just because they understood that they were the ones that crucified Jesus, but also because they understood that Jesus was God's son. God had sent him according to a predetermined plan, and they had put him to death on the cross, and they repented, and they knew that they had to do something in their heart to get right with God. And so they said, what shall we do? They were crying out, what shall we do? The burden of putting this man to death on the cross, the burden of our sin is weighing down on us. It is putting pressure on us and weighing down on us. And so they cried out to Peter, what shall we do? And Peter said in verse 38, one of the most famous scriptures in all the Bible, you should put it to memory. Jesus said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so repentance is turning away from your sinful life. It's turning away from your life of separation from God. And repentance is saying, God, I ask you to forgive me. I am sorry that I hurt you. Sorry that I hurt fellow man, but even more sorry that I hurt you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I want to get right with you. I want to receive that blood covering over my sins. Let Jesus Christ wash them away through baptism. And so the forgiveness of your sins and becomes an instant act on the part of God to your reaction to the Word of God and the offer of forgiveness. And so then at that time, and sometimes before, sometimes after, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then the Spirit of God lives with you, abides with you and in you forever for all eternity as your counselor, as your advocate, as your paraclete, as your comforter. And so that is the birth not only of the New Testament church, but in this day and age, today, you can have that birth in your own life, and it will be a spiritual birth for you, not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth for you that you can start anew in the kingdom of God. Well, it goes on to say, Peter goes on to say, verse 39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself. Well, there was 3,000 people came to know the Lord that day. 3,000 people accepted the invitation, accepted that call to serve Jesus Christ, to accept him as Lord and Savior, and they were baptized. So the New Testament church was born that day with 3,000, actually 3,120, because the disciples also were given the gift of the Holy Spirit that same day. So there was 3,120 born into the kingdom of God, born into the New Testament church that very day, and that is the birth of the New Testament church. Beloved, one of the more disappointing things, I guess you would say, is that there's so many denominations and different strains of teaching and preaching all over the world, but the body of Christ is immense. The body of Christ is agreed on the fact, for the most part, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he shed his perfect, precious blood for our sins. And Jesus said, you're either with me, you're either gathering with me, or you're scattering. And so that is the way the New Testament church began. That's the way it still goes today. It is centered on Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his teaching. That is what we meet in the church, in the local church, for is to celebrate and worship and give honor and glory to God and glory to his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 42, then, this is a picture of the New Testament church, verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So four things were the hallmarks of the New Testament church. I'm going to go through these quickly. They were the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so this is what you want to look for in a New Testament church. If you're searching for a church, the apostles' teaching, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accommodate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. And so Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, exhort, teach. Sound doctrine is very important. The second thing in the New Testament church, fellowship. It's important to gather with the saints. Hebrews 10:25, Paul says, do not forsake your own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, or as the end days draw near. And so it's important for us to gather together. I appreciate those of you who are listening to this radio broadcast and other radio broadcasts, other television programs, but find yourself, if at all possible, if you're physically able, find yourself a good New Testament church and gather with the saints so you can be encouraged by them, you can be held accountable. Just to see other people worshiping and gathering together gives you encouragement and helps you in your own Christian walk. So gather together with the saints. The third hallmark of the New Testament church, breaking of bread. And this is communion. That's what Peter was talking about, communion. 1 Corinthians 11:26, the Apostle Paul says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. When you come together, when you come together to worship Jesus Christ and to praise him, when you have communion, when you partake of communion, the cup which represents his blood and the bread which represents his broken body, you're doing that so you can remember Jesus until he comes. It gives you remembrance of the man who died on the cross for you. Well, the fourth thing, the New Testament church hallmark was in prayer. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Do that in your personal life, not just as part of a fellowship or part of the body of Christ, but in your personal life. Pray without ceasing, but also corporate prayers are very powerful. When people pray in the church corporately, there is power in their prayers. You will see God move across the earth. And Jesus said in Luke 19:46, Jesus entered the temple, verse 45, and began to cast out those who were selling. And verse 46, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. And so the body of Christ, the individual local churches, the local ecclesia should be a house of prayer. Spend time in your local church in corporate prayer. Spend time in home in prayer, and you will see God move in your life, and you will see God move through the corporate body across the earth, send missionaries, build schools, build hospitals, build churches, minister to the orphans, minister to the sick, minister to the hungry. That is God's plan for the body of Christ. Well, I appreciate you listening today. I appreciate your support and prayers for this ministry. If you want to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. Sit down, include a check in that note. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you enjoy these broadcasts. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can donate with your credit or debit card through PayPal, paypal.me/gatheroutcast. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcast. You can check us out on Facebook. See lots of pictures of the ministry. Facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to get that school project going. We want to get it finished, and we thank you for your support even before we hear from you. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.